Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
This is Your Place Love Connection. Thank you for calling in tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Your Place of Love, Your Place of Peace, Love, Acceptance, Compassion, and Empowerment. Thank you for joining us tonight as we are here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're just so glad to have you with us tonight. But as we start, we'd like you to join us with song, scripture, and prayer. Song, scripture, and prayer. And tonight we're going to have a song by Yolanda Appens, Open My Heart.
Especially today.
scripture and prayer. And if Pastor Wilson, if you're on the line, we just had our song. If you will read the Ephesians passage, and I will start with prayer. Dr. Nooks is slow in coming this evening. He's not feeling well. So if you go ahead.
Okay. Coming out of Ephesians, we'll read starting at the 10th verse. And the scripture reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen.
Amen. God, we come before you, and we are just so excited tonight to be able to sit at your feet and to be empowered to be stronger spiritual warriors. We are thankful for Pastor and Deborah Wilson, who are with us tonight to empower us by teaching us their understanding and sharing their experiences about this aspect of the Christian walk. We're asking that you might open our spiritual eyes so that we might better see and walk according to your will and your way. We ask these blessings in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say, amen.
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 So this is an awesome time that we have, and we're very excited. We have people on the line tonight. Often we have about 15 people in the studio. But not everybody is going to talk. So we have people who are really shy, and then we have those who like to ask a lot of questions and interact. For those of you who are on, who are listening out in blog land or radio land, we're asking you to call in tonight to 646-478-4932 if you'd like to join us in the studio and have other questions. Other than that, we're going to have a lot of the conversation tonight. We'll be going with Pastor Les and Deborah as they share their story and they engage us in the understanding of spiritual warfare. So if you're ready, let's go. But before we get going, Pastor Wilson, can we find out who's on the, it looks like tonight, those who are willing to talk. Who's on the roll? So can we get who's in the studio? Roll call. Who's in the studio? Who called in that wants to share? Pastor Deborah, are you there?
I am Brick, on the line. Brick. Thanks for the program to go well, my dear. I'm here on the line.
Amen. Britt, are you there? Okay, I hear there's some people in the background. Nobody's speaking up right now. So
Brenda.
We will let, as they come
California.
In. Oh, okay, Brenda, great to hear. Britt said he was going to be here. Have you heard from him this evening?
Not this evening, no.
Okay, would you text him, please? I just tried to. So, Pastor Wilson,
okay.
We have our group tonight, and we're just asking that you would bless us with the knowledge that you have and to share with us. And generally, when people are in the studio, we ask that you announce who you are before you speak so that whoever is giving leadership, and tonight it's Pastor Wilson and Pastor Deborah, that they will know who to engage. And so... With that, let's go.
All right. How is everybody doing? It's a pleasure to be here tonight. We're talking about spiritual warfare, and we're going to try to keep it as simple as possible, recognizing that this is a serious topic that you're dealing with spiritual warfare. First and foremost, how many of you believe that the devil is real? How many believe that?
Yep. Brenda said, yep. Pastor Susie, we're saying,
yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
If you believe that the spiritual battle that we're in, how many believe that that's real?
Yes.
Amen.
The reality is everybody don't believe in this battle for real. The fact that there's a lot of people out there, believers as well as non-believers, that can't accept the whole concept of the spiritual realm and how active the spiritual realm is and how active it is in our daily lives. And we tend to kind of downplay the fact that this thing about spiritual warfare is real. A lot of religions, they embrace heaven, but they don't accept the fact that hell is real.
Well,
there's a lot of religions that will accept a loving and caring God, but they can't accept an evil and diabolical devil. Everybody believes that just as loving as God is, there is an evil, demonic devil out there that's trying to wreak havoc in our lives. Everybody believe that?
Yes.
We
I'm
do.
Sure if you're alive,
everybody
you
on this land
it.
Does.
You understand it, and you've probably witnessed it for yourself, okay? So we're all on the same page. But one of Satan's greatest deceptions is to try to get people to believe that he doesn't really exist. He's very
That's
good
right.
at getting people to just believe that he's just a fictional character.
Amen.
You know, we have the concept, people have the concept that he's just this red imp in a red suit with a pitchfork. But that's farthest from the truth. The reality is the devil could be right next to you. It could be your closest friend that the enemy is operating in and dealing with. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So before we can competently discuss the spiritual battle, we have to believe in the spiritual realm. Just to keep it real simple, when we refer to the spiritual realm, we're talking about the immaterial realm of beings operating and functioning in this realm. That's the spiritual realm, immaterial. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about immaterial realm. And then we have the physical realm, which is the material realm. That material realm is the physical realm, and everybody that's operating in the physical realm, of course, is limited by what? Time and space, meaning that we can only be in one place at the same time. That's what differentiates physical realm from spiritual realm. Everybody understand that? Everybody good with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as we begin to look at spiritual war and this battle that's going on, we have to understand that this spiritual realm or this battle that's happening, this battle is against two opposing forces. You have the forces of good, which is under God's control, versus the forces of evil, which is under God's control. I know somebody was a little surprised by that, but the reality is God is in control of everything. Now, Satan is in command of the evil spiritual forces, but God is still in control of everything. Everybody understand that?
Proverbs
says, the Lord has made everything for his purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. And then Paul told the church of Colossians in Colossians 1:16, Paul says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. So the fact is, God is even in control of the evil forces. God is still in control of them. Now, Satan is in command, but God is in control. Okay? All right.
Amen.
So, as we begin to look at this spiritual battle, the first question that comes to mind when I think about it is, how did we get involved? as a human race, how did we get involved in the battle? What do we have to do with the battle? Anybody want to try to interject with that? How did we get in the battle? If the battle is between forces of good and forces of evil, how did we get in it? Anybody?
Because we were created to worship God. This is Dr. Susie. We were created to worship the Lord, and the enemy wants to be a hindrance to God and to move us away from what God's intent. And so he wants to divert us and to try to rob God of the things which God was trying to do for us. And that's to be able for us to worship and be in relationship with God.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else?
This is Brenda. Yes, this is Brenda in California, and it started in the Garden of Eden, in relationship to not eating from the tree of knowledge, which happened, and that changed everything. And that's how we got in the middle of all of it, because God said, don't eat from that tree. And when the people ate from that tree, that started everything, and that's how we got in the middle of it.
Very good, Brenda. Flesh and blood reveal that to you, Brenda.
Hello, this is James. I just joined. I'm sorry, I'm late, and I may have to go on mute for a while.
This is Pastor Deborah, and I want to say we're in the middle of it because we are God's representative in the earth. And he has called us and has given us the authority in the earth. And so that's how come we're in the middle of it.
Very good.
Amen.
Very good. All of those are powerful answers. And just write this down. Just write this down if you can. First of all, the battle is not about you and me.
That's right.
The battle
Amen.
Is not about you and me at all. So we have to understand that the battle is not ours. It's God. But the devil is trying to get Christ out of you so you can't fulfill purpose. Because when
That's
you don't
right.
fulfill purpose, God can't get the glory out of your life. And all of this
That's
is
right.
about when God created us. He created us for us to bring glory to him. And it would serve the devil, nothing would serve the devil best than to have us not fulfill our purpose and bring glory to God. So when God created us, we were his prized possession. And as a result of that, because Satan don't like God, because we're attached to God, he does not like us. So that's how we got in the middle of it. All right?
That's right.
And when we don't fulfill purpose, we don't bring glory to God, because we were created to do that, to glorify God. In fact, all of creation was created to bring glory to God. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So, which brings me to the good news. Even though man failed in the garden, as I think Brenda said, even though Adam failed in the garden, the good news is everything that Adam did not do, Jesus came and accomplished it. That's the good news. All right? So the second thing I want you to write down, if you can, in this battle that we're in, you have to know who you're battling against in order to implement a good strategy. Let me say that again. You have to know who you're battling against in order to implement a good strategy. All right? So,
Amen.
You got to
know your enemy.
You got to know your enemy, exactly. So we go back to our scripture that we opened up with over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And let's go to 12 if we can. The scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, he's saying that we're not fighting humans. You're not fighting against your boss. Even though it seems like your boss is against you, your boss is really not against you. Your boss don't like you because of the Christ in you. So the devil and him don't like the Christ in you. So that creates a battle. Your co-worker don't like you, don't even know you, but they don't like you because the devil in them don't like the Christ in you, so that creates the battle. So he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, so first of all, first and foremost, when we look at that 12th verse, what's the first word that jump out at you when you look at that scripture? What's the first word that jump out at you? Anybody? Anybody?
That we struggle. This is Brian from New England.
Okay, Brian. Very good. I think you're in the NIV. You're in the NIV or NLT. It says struggle. King James Version says we wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to understand wrestling is different than fighting. When you're fighting, there's no rules of engagement. When you're fighting, it's just an all-out brawl.
Mm-hmm.
And everything counts. I can kick you, I can bite you, I can slap you, I can scratch you. Whatever I got to do to try to beat you, I do that. But this scripture says we're wrestling. Wrestling means that there's a strategy involved.
Mm-hmm.
There's some training that has to be involved. There's some athleticism that's involved. There's some strategy that you actually implement when you're wrestling. There's some rules of engagement. There's some guidelines. There's some boundaries that you have to stay. There's some parameters that you have to stay within. So we have to understand that what we're dealing with here, we're dealing with a wrestling match. It's not a fight. Is a match, so there's strategy involved. So we have to know, I used to be a wrestler, and the one thing about wrestling is you have to study your opponent. And what you try to do is find your opponent's weaknesses. That's what the devil tried to do with us. And oftentimes, because the devil is not omniscient, the devil only know what you tell him. So you get on your phone, you talking to your friends, and you telling your friends what you're going through, what you're struggling with, and the devil is hearing everything that you're saying. So you're giving information to the devil that the devil will use against you later on down the line.
Well,
we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we do because we allow the enemy to gain access and to gain an advantage on us spiritually when we allow ourselves to begin to what we call vent. Oftentimes, we're venting to who we think we're venting to, but we're really venting to the devil as well. And he will allow the devil to devise a strategy against us. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness
of the world,
against spiritual wickedness.
Pastor Wilson, so am I hearing you say that the devil has access to everything that we say and only that which we verbalize?
No. The devil doesn't have access to everything you say. That's why God gives us a spiritual language. Because a spiritual language allows us to speak some things that the devil can't decipher. That's why he gives us a heavenly language. Now, the devil can tap into your thought life. He can hear what you say verbally as well. But the heavenly language, he can't touch that.
That's fine.
This
is Brett.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is Brett. Yeah. The devil can't get into your head or read your thoughts. And that's one thing that we have to understand, that in order for you to know what you're dealing with, you got to know that the 10 things that the devil cannot do. And one of them is Satan cannot read your mind. It talks about that in 1 Kings 8:39. It says, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Forgive and act. Deal with everything accordingly to all they do, since you know their heart, which is God. For you alone know every human heart. Now, what we have to understand is that for over 6,000 years, the devil has been around. He was around at the time that the earth and everything was formed and made and man was made. And he's had 6,000 years to study us, and he can predict our human behavior. That's what we have to understand, is that he can't get inside of your head. He can't read your mind.
Okay, Brett.
And he can't do anything unless God allows it to happen. That's one thing God didn't give him power over.
Okay, that's good. That scripture you just read talked about your heart. Now, you do know there's a clear distinction between your heart and your mind. Now, nobody knows the heart but God, but the devil absolutely has access to your thoughts. In fact, the devil works overtime to actually present you with thoughts. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, he says, and the prince of this world, he blinds the mind of the unbeliever. Now, that's the Bible, 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. He said he blinds the mind. Your mind is where your thoughts flow. It flows through your mind. And the devil controls an unbeliever's thoughts. Do you know why he controls the unbeliever's thoughts? Because your mind is your spiritual eye that allows you to see the things in the spirit. That's why he said blinds the mind of the unbeliever, because your spiritual eye is your mind. You see with your mind the things that are in the spirit realm. Spirit realm meaning immaterial. So what the enemy does is try to clutter your thought life so that he can hinder you from hearing what God is trying to say to you in the spirit realm. So
Pastor Wilson, this is Chaplain Susie. The question I had regarding to that, is that not where you expect the battleground to take place?
Exactly. That is where it takes place. That's where the battle is. The battle is in your mind at all times. Now, it may manifest in the physical realm, but the battle starts in your mind. What the enemy does is he will find out what he hears what you say, and then he begins to present thoughts to you in your mind based on what you said, even what you think. And he presents those thoughts to you to try to hinder you, to try to bring obstacles in your way so that you can fulfill your purpose and do the things that God are calling for you to do. So that's why he works in the mind. If you look at when Jesus was tempted, if you go on in the 4th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was tempted, everything that happened, it happened in his mind. He didn't take him to a pinnacle. He didn't take him to those different places. Everything took place in the spirit realm, mental, the way he does us. He presents us with thoughts, just 10,000 thoughts that flow through your mind on a daily basis, and those thoughts is where the battle takes place. You have the opportunity to reject the thought, or cast the thought down, or you can accept that thought, and when you accept that thought and begin to entertain the thought, then you allow that thought to creep into your heart. When you creep into your heart, then you act on that thought that has come to your
Absolutely.
Mind once again in your heart.
Amen.
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 Okay? So,
amen.
Amen.
So, you absolutely, the enemy has, he can't mess with your heart. No. He doesn't have access to your heart, but he does have access to your thoughts. Two different things. Okay? So,
amen.
Let's look at some of the weapons that the enemy used to try to attack us. There are three things specifically that the Bible tells us about. Three weapons that the enemy used against us. Three primary weapons, anyway. Number one, he uses the form of deception. In other words, deception means to get someone to believe a lie. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. The truth is not in him. So a lot of what he says to you is not truthful. Do you imagine how many things that you get and you go through a lot of gyrations and a lot of emotions and those things never come to pass? How many times that happened to you in a day? You begin to just think about a thought and be like, oh, my God, the weather is bad. Oh, I hope I don't get in an accident. You fretting about an accident the enemy done put in your head. Oh, you're not going to make it home, and you just deal with that, and you fight with that, and you struggle with that. And it never even comes to pass. So he always used forms of deception to try to battle against us, number one weapon that he uses against us. Okay? Everybody with me on that one?
Yes.
The second,
amen.
Form the second weapon that he uses against us, and probably the strongest, is temptation. Temptation often follows deception. The enemy will tell us something, like he told Eve, "Surely you won't die." The devil, God knows that if you eat of the fruit, you become like him. So he does what? He enticed her, first of all, told her, if you eat that fruit, you're not going to die. He gave her a little truth and he gave her a little lie. But a little truth and a little lie equals what? A big lie. So he said, you will surely die. God knows that if you eat of the fruit, you will become like him. Now, if you read the scripture and go back, that's what God said. He said, let's go down because man have eaten of the fruit. And if we don't, from now, they will become like us. So he told them some truth, but he told them a lie because they died spiritually. So that was the lie he told them. They did die spiritually. So the enemy always tried to use forms of deception to try to hinder us or attack us. James talks about it in James, the first chapter, the 13th
amen.
Verse.
In the 22nd verse.
What did James say? James says, let no
but
man
the
say
doers of the word.
God. But he says, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted by any man. 14 verse says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed.
And 22 encourages us, you know, after we understand deception always betrays those of us who live in, and it says, but be doers of the word. Obey
that's
the
right.
message and not merely listen to it. 22,
that's
betraying
right.
yourselves
that's
into deception right. by reasoning contrary to the truth.
Absolutely. So what do you guys think about that?
This is a really strong lesson, and, you know, as you were talking about deception and you took us to Genesis, I kept thinking about 3:13 that says, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the reality is that is the role, is the deception is the goal. And we need to always understand that he's going to and forth through the earth seeking whom he may destroy. And
absolutely.
So deception is a very strong characteristic that he uses weapon against us, and we need to be prepared for that. Amen.
So let's look at that 14th verse, if we could, Dr. Susie. If we could look at that 14th verse.
Can I ask one more question, Pastor? How do
sure.
we avoid
uh-huh.
deception? How do we avoid deception?
Okay. That's a good question. How do we avoid deception? The Bible says that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
That's
you. How you avoid deception is whatever the enemy presents you with, line it up with the Word of God. If it don't line up with the Word, then you know it's something that you need to cast down.
Amen.
And it don't line up with God.
Amen.
You cast it down. So that's what you do. You line everything up with the Word.
And we just learned, Pastor Wilson, that is the sword that we carry. And that's why we need to put on our armor. Because that's what helps us, as you were saying, to stay in that word, to stay lined up so that we know the truth when we hear it.
Amen. Amen.
And we don't have
Amen.
To fall into sin through the deception of the enemy because we're prepared and have our arm on spirit of,
that's
the sword of truth. I mean, the sword
Amen.
Of the spirit. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I think
Amen.
This
Go ahead.
Is Pastor Deborah. This is Pastor Deborah. I just want to say a very, very important point because a lot of us are worn out as Christians because we're trying to fight this battle on our own without the Lord.
Come on.
Yes.
The scripture clearly says that we must do this, put on the whole armor of God, but even before it is finally, be strong in the Lord. We can't do this
yeah.
by ourselves. And what we have been doing is we've been trying to fight a spiritual battle with worldly weapons.
Amen. Amen.
We can't fight a spiritual battle with worldly weapons. So we've been trying to attack people with a slap. We've been trying to attack people with our own words. And where God is saying that we have to do this with him. If we don't do it with the Lord, you're fighting a losing battle.
Amen. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty,
but they're mighty.
Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we
Amen.
Have to use those spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual battle.
Amen.
That's awesome, Pastor. And I wish that's a whole nother Bible study on how to pull down strongholds. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, can we just look at James again real quick? Can we go to James 1:14? This process of temptation is real, real important, and how the enemy walks us, strategizes against us through this process. 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust." So it's something that we have a strong desire for. That's what lust is. Lust is not just sexual. Lust could be a little of anything. Anything you have a strong desire for, it becomes lust. If you like cherry cheesecake like me, that could be lustful if you just really got to have it. If you a German chocolate cake like person like me, I like sweets, you can tell, right? Those
yeah.
things could be lust things that draw you away. So he says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own. So you have a part that you play there.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lustful desire that the enemy will try to entice. And then the 15th verse says, then when lust has been conceived, then it bringeth forth sin. See, your job is to stop it before you conceive it.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're not pregnant until the little blue thing on the swatch say you're pregnant. You haven't conceived. So that's the way it is in the spirit realm. You have not conceived that thing, and it brings forth sin until you receive it in your heart and begin to act on it. So the enemy will try to draw you and entice you with things that you desire, but because you know it's not time, you know it's not the season, you got to pull it down, you got to rebuke the devil, you got to reject the thought, and no, devil, can't let you take me there this time, can't do it. That's where the battle is won. We have the power to cast it down when the thought comes to try to entice us or to pull us in.
Pastor Wilson, do you mind if I read something? It's the same. It's a
sure.
different translation, but the way it says it is so clear. It says, I'm starting in the 13th verse of the message. It says, don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious
mm-hmm.
to evil and puts evil in no one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby. Sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes the real killer. So, like you were saying, is you want to stop it before it gets pregnant. And then you want to stop it before the baby comes. It becomes sick. There you go. You don't want it to get there. And the way that they put it was easy to see where you need to intervene. So I just wanted to throw that in there. It was so clear. Thank you.
Amen. 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 That's good. That's good. So it's about us being able to detect when the enemy is trying to bring temptation our way. He's going to do it. And he's going to try to appeal to those things that are nearest and dearest to you, whatever it might be, to try to get you to fall for that temptation. Understand that temptation is always about trying to make you fail. Temptation is always about trying to bring you down.
Amen.
That's how the devil operates. The objective is to bring you down and to make you fall and to make you fail.
That's right.
So that's why we can't blame it on God, because as the scriptures say, God has nothing. He's not in it. He don't tempt us with evil, because evil's not in him. Okay?
Okay.
Last but certainly not the last, the last weapon that the enemy uses against us is accusations. The devil is good at accusing us. The Bible says that he is an accuser of the brethren. And I don't know if people realize this or not. I talked about this in my Bible study in at church, and I asked them, I said, where is the devil at right now? Where do you think his residence is? Where does the devil hang out? We've been led to believe that the devil is down in hell, running around and down in hell. That's what we've been led to believe. But that's
just
not true.
He hangs out in heaven.
Absolutely. He has access to heaven.
Goes before the Lord.
And he does what?
Daily.
Goes before the Lord to accuse us. And I learned something else about the accusation. Oftentimes, the accusation is not just to the God, because God is omniscient. He knows all things. Oftentimes, he uses it against ourselves. He'll use it against one brother against another brother, or one sister against another sister. He'll use those accusations to get us to get disconnected from each other, to bring division and discord amongst us. You know how it works. You go to church, sister so and so don't speak to you this Sunday, then your mind start working and the enemy start putting thoughts in your mind, be like, oh, sister so and so didn't speak to you today. You must have done something to sister so and so. Or what did I do to sister so and so? Now the accusations start. Oh, you must have said something wrong. You must have hurt her feelings. Oh, she didn't like something that you did. She didn't like something that you said. Now you're what? You're frustrated. Now you don't know how to deal with sister so-and-so because sister so-and-so didn't speak to you. So now sister so-and-so didn't speak to you. Guess what? I'm not going to speak to her. Now we have what? Discord and division amongst the brethren. Where's the love at in that? Absolutely none.
Amen. Amen.
So he'll get us to work against each other. He'll get us to pull against each other. He'll try to divide us because he knows a kingdom divided against itself will do what? It will fall. But when we unite together, when we combine our forces together, the Bible says what? One could put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10,000 to flight. So in this battle that we're in, this battle gets deeper. Just a little background about our ministry. We have a deliverance ministry, and we deal with a lot of demonic presence. Everybody comfortable with demonic demons and demonic presence and how that operates? Everybody comfortable with that? I know that this is a subject for another day as well.
What does comfortable mean?
Yeah, that's where I was, Dr. Susie. It's Brenda in California. How do you mean comfortable? Because I don't think any of us can really be comfortable with it. I think most of us understand it. I would never say comfortable.
Well, that's what I mean. Are we comfortable with the subject? Because some people just don't like to deal with it at all. They don't like to even engage in the whole idea of demons, how they work, how they operate, how they influence our lives, how they attack. And a lot of people are not really comfortable with that. So I want to make sure that everybody's comfortable with it, because we don't want it to be turned into something that you're not.
But Pastor, this is where we are. We are the fact that we understand that we believe that there's a war over there in Iraq. And we got Marines that are training and doing spiritual, doing battle warfare, learning how to fight, how to shoot, what they need to do. We also believe that we're in a spiritual warfare. That's the very first question you ask us. We know that that's taking place. And so with that, we understand that we have to do what we need to do, and that's to understand our enemy. And that's why we're asking you, because you got to bring it home regardless. And so whether we're uncomfortable with it or not, it's just like, are you uncomfortable doing 445 PT and running 2.5 miles? Well, I want to run 2.5 miles, but I got to do it so I can be in shape. So we ready to go. Let's go, let's go.
Okay, so let's talk about demonic presence, because that's a very real thing that's happening today. And we deal with a lot of demonic presence. We see it very active. We've dealt with a lot of individuals, and it's so subtle how the enemy will enter in, take over, and use humans to manifest his diabolical program. So first of all, let's talk about how do demons gain access. First of all, we have oppression, we have possession. Oppression and possession. Possession means that a spirit will enter into an individual. The Bible says that he will come in, the strong man will come in. When he comes in, he ties up the soul. The soul is the inner man. That is the you of the trichotomy of human. That is the you. So he comes in, he binds up the soul, and he takes over the body, and then he uses the body to manifest his works in the physical realm. First of all, Christians cannot be possessed by a demon. Not if you're saved and have the Holy Ghost abiding in you. Darkness can't abide where light is. So let's get that understood first. Christians cannot be possessed by a demon. But Christians can be oppressed. Oppressed means that taken over, but they try to hinder you. They try to, as Paul said, he said he had a spirit that came to buffet him. The word buffet means to hinder. We've all been under attack at some point in our life where the enemy come in and he tried to attack us. He can't possess us, but he just tried to hinder us, try to frustrate us, try to throw us off our game, try to get us to lose sight of who God is and what God has done in our life. And those spirits are very strong and they're very real. But we need to understand, as Christians, we can't be possessed, but we can be oppressed. But as unbelievers are fair game to be possessed. Could be our loved one, could be brother, sister, coworker. The thing we have to do is make sure that we have a discernment to be able to discern when a spirit is operating in our presence. So there's some people that have the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment basically is about being able to look beyond the surface of an individual and see what's going on in the spirit realm in their life. So you'll be able to see beyond what's really happening. That's one way to be able to detect them. Secondly, you look for manifestations. Oftentimes, when you're dealing with demonic spirits, you got to be able to recognize the manifestation of that spirit. And when you recognize the manifestation, then you can begin to pray and test that spirit to see if it is what you have detected by seeing the manifestation. For instance, let's talk about the spirit of bondage. Just use that for an example. Spirit of bondage, every demonic spirit manifests in some way, shape, or form. Spirit of bondage, the manifestation of the spirit of bondage is drug addiction, alcoholism, anything that you're bound by, that is a manifestation of the spirit of bondage. Oftentimes it's chronic conditions where, you know, when they're possessed, it's things that they've been doing for a long period of time. Could be generational, could be something that was passed on down through their bloodline. Spirits can travel like that. Once you detect that spirit is operating there, science says, okay, send them the 12-step program. 12-step program says, okay, well, first of all, you know, you want to stay away from person, places, or things, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. 12-step program is good in and of itself, but 12-step program may help an individual, but 12-step program can't deliver an individual. But what we submit to is getting them delivered from whatever bondage
Amen.
They may be in.
Amen.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's several spirits that the Bible refers to, and we don't really have, again, that's a whole other Bible study that we can actually dive into if Dr. Street Beaver ever feel like that's something that she wants to do. But we have to be careful because the spirit realm, demonic spirits, they're so lively and it's so active that if you're a believer that's connected, you begin to see spirits operating, not just on your job, not just in your home, but I'm talking about even in church, you can see spirits actually coming to church, trying to disrupt your service. They're just that active. They just move, and they're moving just that much. It's about, okay, when you discern it, what do you do? So deliverance is something that we do, and the deliverance is a whole, again, that's another subject that we probably would not be able to delve off in today, but we just need to be cognizant that the spirit realm is real powerful, and how we go about attacking the spirit realm, in the spirit realm, and how we go about attacking demonic spirits, that was something that I would love to really just really share with you guys when we get a chance, because we've dealt with a lot of it and we have a lot of case studies on it, and we'd love to just really share that with you guys if ever given the time.
Pastor Wilson, this is Chaplain Susie. Dr.
Yes.
Susie, can you share an incident with us that you and Pastor Deborah, there was a real situation that you all had to deal with?
Absolutely. Let me give you one particular case. We
okay.
had a lady that came to our church, probably, I would say, maybe in her mid-40s. She came in, and she was introduced to us as an evangelist. So when the service came, when the service started, she was sitting in praise and worship. And as she was sitting in praise and worship, you could tell that she was uneasy. It's something about praise and worship is where demons can't handle praise and worship. So when the praise and worship started, she started getting really antsy. And so I discerned that something was wrong. So immediately we shut the service down. We pulled her in the office. I left her with my wife. And my wife was counseling her. And after we shut the service down, because we understood that it was a serious situation, after we shut the service down, we began to deal with this particular lady. And the first thing that happened is as we began to pray, the first thing that happened is the manifestation of that spirit came out in a male's voice. And the spirit said, she came with me. She's leaving with me. So we
now,
all
Pastor Deborah.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no, you might. So when you heard that, was I know this ain't your first rodeo, but when you heard that, does that sound eerie?
Sorry, I didn't understand what you said. You said that that sounded
eerie.
Eerie.
Yes. A male's voice coming from a female. Yeah. You know, and actually while me and this lady was in the office, she said that she came to get some people that were in our congregation. That was a purpose. She said, I can't get you, but I can get some of them out there. And that's when I started to plead the blood of Jesus. And then, of course, we're at the point where Pastor Wilson is referring to when we started to confront this demon. But the first thing, too, is, you know, like Pastor Wilson said, is to discern what type of spirit you're dealing with by name. A lot of times we are addressing the spirit by the manifestation and not by the name. So the spirit would not answer you if you address it by the wrong name. So, for example, if I'm calling your name and I'm calling you the wrong name, you're not going to answer.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Wilson.
Yeah, so
anytime
you deal with a spirit, as she said, anytime you deal with a spirit, you need to make sure that you call it out by name and not address it by its manifestation. You hear people say sometimes, you spirit of alcoholism. Well, it's not a spirit of alcoholism. Alcoholism is the manifestation. The spirit of bondage is the name of the spirit that's operating. So you want to call it out by name. So once what was operating in her, she had two spirits that were really strong. One was a familiar spirit. Familiar spirit, basically, a familiar spirit, it mimics the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit does what? The Holy Spirit is a comforter that comforts us spiritually. A familiar spirit comforts people, but they comfort them physically. They tap into their physical desires, and they meet those physical desires, whatever those physical desires may be. You can go in the dictionary. You can look up incubus, succubus. Those are two spirits that actually run with a familiar spirit. Familiar spirit knows your history. A familiar spirit knows your sexual desires, your emotional desires, and they will comfort those areas in your life. So they mimic the Holy Spirit. The reason why a familiar spirit is so tough to deal with is because oftentimes people don't want to let go of their familiar spirit.
That's right.
Because that spirit comforts them emotionally, comforts them spiritually, even comforts them sexually. So they don't want to let it go. So you have to find somebody that, I mean, if they don't want to let it go, it's not going. I can assure you that. If they don't want to let go. So this young lady, you could tell that she wanted to be set free, but this spirit clearly said, she came with me, she's leaving with me. And that spirit actually pointed out three people in our congregation that was actually working on our deliverance team, said, I want this one, I'm going to get this one, and this one. And this is how powerful this spirit was. A young teenager, he walked in the church while we were doing the deliverance service. He went through the church going to the bathroom. The next day, his mother calls us screaming, I need you to come to my house quick. Something has happened to, I won't say his name, something has happened to her son. I don't have never seen him act like this. He's cussing out the teacher. The spirit got in the little boy. just that quick. He was 16 years old,
mm-hmm.
just by mm-hmm. passing through the church while we were doing the deliverance service. Got in the boy, started manifesting through the boy. So we had to go over that family's house, cast the spirit out of the little boy. The little boy got delivered the same night. The lady, she died holding on to that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't want to let it go. She didn't want to let it go because of what it brought to her life. And this was somebody that was acting as an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
So this is serious. The devil don't have a problem coming in your house. And when I say your house, I mean your church house, and coming into your physical residence and trying to take over your house.
Well, the word says this is unto death. So
mm-hmm.
ain't
absolutely.
No games being played here.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And this is Brenda in California, and this is where our strength, our faith, and our belief comes in. Because I believe that when people have strong faith and strong belief, there's no room for something like that to come in. That for some reason,
amen.
Those people are letting that in because they're lacking something else.
That's right.
And
that's
most Christians, we recognize that right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm really
absolutely.
Good at pull off and turning something off that I know is wrong. And I just did that in my life. So what I'm saying
amen.
is that if we leave that space open, that's when something's going to come in. And that's not something most Christians do.
Right. Right.
But this is the question again, as we asked the question last week. If we know we're in war, but we're not putting on the armor, what is it that we're leaving stuff open?
That's right.
So, you know, we're not real with that. We say one thing and we do something else. We talk about the fact that we understand and we're seriously in war over in Iraq, and we're taking guns and grenades and everything else, and we're ready to fight that fight. But when we know that without a shadow of doubt that there's a spiritual realm and a spiritual battle going on, but we refuse to get down, put on that warfare, put on that armor, start those prayers so that there aren't areas that the enemy can get into. We refuse to do that, and we act like, well, yeah, I know we're supposed to do that, but what do you expect the enemy to do? He's not going to just play with you. He's going to find a way in. And
right.
like you said, we can't be possessed, but we can be, what's the word you use?
Worn out. Oppressed.
And guess what? It's all around us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely
all around us.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So does anybody have questions? There's about 20 people on the line, Pastor Wilson. I just want to let you know. Is there anybody want to ask any questions? Y'all just, I know they're listening, and they're like, wow. And they're listening. Does anybody, we got folks from Kentucky, California, Indianapolis, New England. Has anybody got any questions? Oh, down there. Anybody got any questions? Y'all want them
this
to keep
Brian.
Going. All right. Go ahead,
Brian.
This is Brian from New England.
Then you go, Brent. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brian. And then Brenda will go.
Okay. My background for many years was science. I left science after becoming saved because once I was saved, I could see through science and I could see the deceptions and the reality that I really needed to leave. I do have a PhD in science, but left right before getting the actual PhD. But because of my background, I have a lot of contacts of people who are still in science and are they were my friends when I was 20, and they're my friends now that I'm much later in life still. Many of them have become saved as well. A lot of them are in physics, astronomy, mathematics, and a lot of them became saved because it became apparent to them that demons do exist. The demons are part of our daily existence in terms of influence and interaction. I've even had some people who are in the physics aspect of science tell me that there are people who can actually measure the presence of very powerful demons using modern scientific technologies. So what is happening mm-hmm. is a transition. What is happening mm-hmm. is a transition where instead of scientists denying the spiritual realm, they are starting to accept it. However, they have allowed Satan to twist them into thinking that the evil side is actually the good side. So mm-hmm. now they're saying, yes, you know, they're agreeing that the scientific community accepts the spiritual realm and the existence of demons, but they've been deceived into thinking those are the good guys, and
wow.
they're learning, and they're actually learning from them, and they view them as the spirit guides for mankind's future, which is definitely part of this battle that we're discussing today.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good information right there.
Brenda.
Well, I was actually drawn into what Brother Brian just said because Teresa Weathersby posted today that one of these famous physicists now has proof of God. We already knew that, but he says now he believes it, and there has been this huge battle between, let's say, science and the creation. Let's put it that way. And I just want to say that we, people who are born into the churches and raised as Christians, understand that. No physicist has to tell us that. I recognize and respect Brother Brian's PhD. This battle has been going on probably from the very beginning, when people started making notes and writing things down. And all I want to say is that most Christians, we don't buy into any of that. And we can see pretty much everything. It may take some of us a minute, but we can pretty much see it. And we're doing the best we can. And I was going to say, like Britt always says, stay in prayer. We as individuals who are believers in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, stay in prayer. That's the one
Amen.
Thing that has helped me through years and years of just coming to where I am today and speaking to God directly and watching how I live my life, walking the walk instead of just talking the talk. And that's where it counts.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, we're getting near the end of the show, and pastors, we thank you so much. I feel like y'all did is open the door. Now you got to come back and do some more. But I have to try to
with
Pastor Deborah and Pastor. What'd you say, Pastor?
I said I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love the interaction, and I would love to be a part of it, and you know, dive into more of this, get a little more in depth if we can, because Brian kind of piqued my curiosity on the scientific aspect of it. I was just reading some information about that, and I like what he said about how now the devil recognizes that science is recognizing that is real, so now he's trying to put a twist, spirit of error, put a twist on it, making right seem wrong. And I could really appreciate that, Brian. So, yeah, I would love to try to, you know, jump back in at some point and interject where I can.
So I will do that very thing, guys. I will talk to Pastor Brian, Pastor Deborah and Pastor Les, and find out when they're available to come back and kind of continue this next step. Because what happens is you open the door and you pique our curiosity, and just when we're starting to get a taste, it's like, okay, now we want to eat. We got a little bit of milk. You know, we're ready to grow a little bit more.
All right.
You guys, when y'all get home, y'all, you know, figure out when a good time to come back and to bless us with some education and some teaching so that we can take the next step. So we praise God for you. But at this time, generally what we do, Dr. Nooks, I guess he's not on the line tonight. So I guess what I'll do is, you know, I ask everybody generally to give one thing that they learned from the lesson tonight that they would share what meant the most to them so that our radio audience, for those who came in later, could hear some of the nuggets that we were able to take home. So those of you who are moving around, if you could put your phones on mute, and if each of you could please give us one at a time that are willing to share. And I'd like to start with Britt. Britt, would you share one thing that you learned from the Bible study tonight? And then we'll go to Brenda. And then there's Brian. Brian, are you willing to talk tonight from Kentucky? So let's start there. Britt.
Okay. This is Britt. Yeah. one of the things that stood out to me.
That we learned tonight.
Yes, I am ex-military. When Dr. Susie was talking about people in war, keep in mind that even when you're not on the front line, you still have a flak jacket on. And that is to keep bullets from penetrating your body. And so before we even step out of our houses, before we even open that door one crack, we need to be suited up with the power of the Holy Spirit to have the whole armor of God on us before we even open that door. Because once you open that door, you don't know what spirit is on the other side of it. So that's what I got from it. Keep the whole armor of God
on. Amen. Amen. Would you all put your phones on mute? We can hear the background noise. So who's the next person who's willing to share?
Brenda,
what is the one thing?
Yeah, Brenda from California. When we were reading James, and the verse is about temptation, temptation and what people think and making decisions and all those things are directly related to action, whether it be sin or whether it be the right thing to do. And that's what I got from this tonight.
Amen. There's a whole bunch of folks on the line. Does anybody want to share anything?
This is Brian from New England. Just wanted to remind people that we do need to adorn ourselves with the armor of God, because the enemy is always armored. The enemy is always ready. He always has his full armor of evil. He always has his weapons of unrighteousness, deception, lies. He's always ready. There are multitudes
of
them. They're always armed and they're always ready for battle every minute.
Amen. Anyone else? Pastor Deborah, is there some big thing you'd like to leave us with that you learned that we kind of covered tonight so that they could be reminded?
I just want to say that Pastor Wilson always has a wealth of information on this subject, and we together will be available whenever you call on us again to expand on this topic. It was a pleasure being with you guys tonight, and God bless you all.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Wilson, if you would close, I'm going to share what jumped out at me, and it was a big thing for me, but if you would have the honor of closing us with an invitation for those to accept Jesus Christ tonight after you share the wrap things up with what you'd like us to take home. I wanted to share that one of the big things, big things for me that, and I've heard them talk about these type of things before, but it just is amazing how we don't understand the cunningness that they don't have to answer if we don't call them by name.
Uh-huh.
And that we can't engage in any kind of warfare if we don't know who to call,
what to say, how to say it.
And so it makes us babes in this game of warfare that's serious. If we're babes and we don't have the tools.
Uh-huh.
So we need to be careful about fighting until we're armed properly and trained appropriately. So I thank you guys for that, because that's one of the biggest things, and everything else you all said was perfect, and I agree with that, but for me, that resonated with me, and so that's a big take-home for me. So, Pastor Les, if you would go ahead, please, and, you know, wrap us up with the final thing you want to leave us with, and then to offer invitation to accepting Christ. Yes, somebody else is on the line. Was that you, Brian, from Kentucky? Go ahead, Pastor Wolf.
You guys, just want to say it's a privilege sharing with you guys tonight. I just want to say, just remember that the battle is real. Just remember that the enemy, those weapons that the enemy is trying to use against us in the form of deception, temptation, and accusations, let's remember those and remember that. Even when he tries to attack, remember that the greater one lives inside of us, because he says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Can we pray? Father God, we come to pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we just thank you, Lord God, for this time and this opportunity to share. Lord God, we thank you, God, because we recognize, God, that without you we can do nothing. And we ask you right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, if there's anyone on the line that don't know you personally, Lord God, you said in your word, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you said that we shall be saved. You also said that if we confess our sins, you said that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's anything that we've done that's not like you, Lord God, anything that we've done, any deception in our heart, any evil in our heart, we ask you, Lord God, to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God, to live sacrificial lives for you, Lord God, that you will fulfill purpose in us, Lord God, so that you can get glory out of our lives. And Lord, we thank you for Dr. Susie for opening up this door and allowing this word to go out, Lord God. We ask you to continue to bless her and keep her. And all that are on the line, we ask, Lord God, that we our love be without dissimulation, and that we abhor that is evil and cleave to that that is good. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. We'll see you guys next week. God's blessings be with you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.